Hello, hello. Welcome to Under the Olive Tree. Today, I feel like I should clear things up. But by that, what I mean is, over the last few sessions, I've talked a lot about Muslim and Islam and about random other things and whatnot. And I feel like there's a lot of misconception in the world about what exactly do I mean by that. If I identify as a certain thing, then it feels only proper that we define what that is in the first place so that we're all on the same page. And again, I'd like to stress that, this is not some sort of religion channel or whatever. And I'm not here to persuade you into being anything or doing anything, but if you're hearing me use words, you should understand what I mean by those words when I say them. And at least that way, we'll all be on the same page and there won't be any sort of bias. This is not like I said, this is not some sort of like religious persuasion. This is actually, something in philosophy. It's called, like, it's not that very complex. It's called analytical philosophy, where we break down the word and define it with proper parameters. Anyway, that being said, what exactly do I mean when I say Muslim? And what exactly is a Muslim? Well, you can't see me, but I'm not, like, I don't have like a turban on, or I don't have a beard that's a foot long. There's absolutely Muslims that look like that, but they're not usually from this part of the world. Of course, like, Muslim people, they cover themselves, but the way that they choose to do it varies depending on where they're from. It's very similar to how you can't necessarily picture what an American looks like, right? We went over that. There's no such thing. Everybody's from somewhere else. All of our ancestors are from somewhere else. Just like that, there's no such thing as like, oh, this is exactly how a Muslim looks. So whatever image you have in your brain, it might be one image, but it's not the only image of a Muslim. Because at the end of the day, Islam is not a culture, and Muslim is not an ethnicity. Essentially, there's actually a word for it in English. Literally, it's called, I looked this up, it's called an agent noun. And that'll make it, it's basically a noun made out of a verb. For example, if someone's running around a track, you'd be like, oh, there's the runner. The runner is passing by. So you've effectively given this person a title, but it's based on something that they're actively doing in the moment. So the point that I'm making is that Muslim is not necessarily a proper noun. It's more like an action noun. You're either someone who's doing this action or you're not. So you're like, well, what's the action? And at first you might think it's something external, something you can see, but it's not. It's internal. Eventually, what is internal perhaps develops and a person might want to show it outward, but there's nothing wrong with that. Like if a white person is wearing like a kurta, or a, like a lady is wearing like a scarf or something like that, no one's gonna be like, oh, that's cultural appropriation, because like I said, it's not about culture. And it's definitely not about how you look. You can see examples of that in people that we know. Like, take a look at Malcolm X. How did he look? Take a look at Muhammad Ali. How did he look? So, what's the verb exactly? If a runner needs to be running to be called a runner, then what are you doing, or what am I doing to be called Muslim? In that active moment internally, what's happening? Well, it's easy. So when I'm saying this word, I'm saying that I believe in one God, and that's it. There's no partners. There's nothing between me and him. And even like when we say him, God is not a man or a woman. God is, he doesn't have like any form or shape. So when you're picturing it in your head, like if you're thinking some white bearded man in the sky, forget about that. That's not it at all. There, you can't really ascribe space or gender or anything necessarily like that to God. It's kind of like, and we do this easily because God says he sees. So you're like, oh, okay, he has eyes. But no. Like, it's nothing like what you think. You would never be able to comprehend. I mean, it's like a bacteria trying to draw up what the core of the sun looks like. But even that would probably happen faster than you or I would understand, like that, like the majesty of some of the creator of the whole universe. Like, it's crazy to think that, you know, you'd be able to picture something like that in your brain and give it form. So it's definitely not some white bearded man in the sky. And the whole him, like if you say him, it's not like he's a man. That's just like a language thing. I mean, it's God is not an inanimate thing. So you have to give him a living pronoun. Even he himself refers to himself as we. Right? In English, it's a translation of like, it shows power, it shows status. It doesn't mean that there's more than one of them. And there's a grammatical term for it. It's literally called the royal we. So God doesn't have gender, he doesn't have form. Right? So when I'm saying that, I don't mean like, I don't mean my prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He was just a man. A good man, a great man. But at the end of the day, just a man. And I don't put anything between myself or my creator, my maker. The one who made me, sent me, and the one who I'll go back to after I die. It just makes so much sense, and it doesn't feel like we have to jump through any hoops to understand something so linear. You come into existence. You're born, you live life, and life itself, the entirety of it, is a test. And ideally, we do good things sincerely and live good lives and take care of people and give each other our rights, right? And enjoin truth and stay away from falsehood, take care of your neighbors, then there's goodness for all of us. And after you die, you're held accountable for the way you live your life. And that makes sense. Because otherwise, I mean, of course, only God can judge, but it makes you wonder how someone who perhaps lives throughout history and takes the lives of millions of people, and in exchange, they die only one life. Where's the equivalency in that? So if, and you look out into the world and there's balance and there's harmony and there's justice. So definitely justice will have to be established one day. Otherwise, where's the fairness? What is the purpose? It wouldn't make any sense any other way. And so there actually is a philosopher even that talks about something like this. I don't remember what century he's from, but his name is Thomas Hobbes. He wrote a book called The Leviathan. And basically, the idea is that this Leviathan, it's not like, you know, anything specific. It could be anything. It's just something that's in power that keeps tabs on everybody else. Something uncorruptible, something unbiased, something beyond the issues of those that this Leviathan governs. And it can be anything, a group of people, one person, a king, a queen. But really, you hit the money when you think about God. Because then between us as human beings, we have this contract, this unspoken bond that will uphold each other's rights and we'll do right by each other. And if we do right by each other, then there's goodness in it for all of us. And that makes sense. That sounds good, right? I could get behind that. In any case, all of this branches off into a lifestyle because you think to yourself, if you believe in one God, then what does that one God want from me? And then you start going down this train of, oh, okay, well, this is the Word of God. And the Word of God has existed in different forms throughout history. And we have a Word of God today. It's called the Quran. So when I say that I'm a Muslim, very simply put, I'm telling you that I believe in one God. And you have to ask yourself, do you actively believe in one God? Because tons of people say that they're monotheistic, right? Many religions claim to be monotheistic. But the question is, are you really? Right? Am I really? And I pose that same question to myself because if I believe in one God, then I catch myself relying on myself or perhaps relying on my family. I love my family. They help me so much in my life. And there can be no intermediary between me and God. And so the question becomes, how much do I believe in one God only, relying on one God? Where is my trust? On the flip side, there's others that say they believe in one God, but they believe in three, or they believe in human beings in between. And if you want to turn to God directly, why don't you? And I don't mean that in any way to offend anybody, by any means. As I ask myself, all I ask is you ask yourself. If you claim to be monotheistic, then no, actively. That is what being Muslim means. If you have heard that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a messenger of God, and you don't deny that, that is actively being Muslim. I mean, you're doing the action. So if you're like, oh, Farhan, don't call me that. That's like a runner saying, don't call me a runner. How? I mean, you're doing the thing. Let's also, even just for the sake of this, get a little dry and talk about the history of the word Muslim and the origin of it too. So, the original person who ever even used this word Muslim was the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him. And the reason why he even used this name is because at the time when he was alive, he was the only person who believed in one God. Everybody else believed in many gods. They believed in idols, they believed in many things, all kinds of stuff. Mainly idols. Even his father was an idol maker. In any case, he was the only person who believed in one God. So when he's telling the people this, they're very concerned with names. They name all of their gods, they name everything they do. And to them, names are very important. So they're like, what do you call yourself? What are your people called? And so Abraham is like, what do you mean? Like, we believe in one God. So the word for that is Muslim. And thus, he named us. So Muslim doesn't necessarily just come from Muhammad, peace be upon him. It comes from meaning to submit to one God. So even throughout history, every single person ever before Muhammad, peace be upon him, has submitted to one God, was a Muslim. Jesus was a Muslim. Moses was a Muslim. Abraham was a Muslim because they all believed in one God. David was a Muslim. Ishmael was a Muslim. Isaac was a Muslim. They all believed in one God. and we don't make any difference among any of them. We love and hold all of them dear to us, because we all live under the same umbrella. Anyway, that's the history of it. The origin of it is, it comes from Arabic, of course, right? And like I said, it's a type of noun. And Arabic is an interesting language. It uses something called root letters. Well, I guess something called root letters, okay. It uses root letters. And the root letters of the word Muslim are like their sounds, right? Salama. Those are the sounds. Salama. And you put it into a pattern, and you add the extra letters, and you get Muslim. And it has those letters in it. Salama. Those letters by themselves, they hold meaning. It means to submit. It means to believe in one God. And when you put it in that pattern and you add those extra letters and you change the sounds salama to Muslim, you're talking about a person who is believing in one God, submitting to one God. And thus you call him Muslim. In any case, hopefully that's clear and we can be on the same page from now on. Whatever you hear anywhere else about anything else, you know, whatever you see in the media or whatever it is that you used to think, this is what I mean. So, if you're listening to me use these words, understand that this is what I mean. You know, I'm not somebody that's saying, oh, I hate these type of people, or I hate those type of people, or blah, 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 or Muslim means, like, you know, you have to have a beard, or otherwise you're not Muslim, or you're, like, a piece of crap, or something. Like, no, none of that. None of that. You know, this is about inclusion. So, anyway, hopefully that made you think, and hopefully it didn't turn you off, and you come back again. Bye.